Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Joseph, did you see the viewership numbers for this week?
I mean, you know, I mean, I focus on the demo, but yeah, that neither was particularly encouraging.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Sean killed the territory there with that intro.
That's my theory. I mean, I think, you know, we're pretty humble guys. We should probably look inward and try and there's some things we could change, right? There's some different approaches we could take.
Yeah, how do you think we get back on track here? Do we hotshot a Luther return? Like, what do we do here?
Luther's pretty expensive. He nearly ended the promotion last time. So I think, and this may surprise you, but I think the actual sell is we do more Robert O'Neill.
More Robert O'Neill?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think what we do is like the Robert O'Neill corner 30, and he just has the first half an hour of the show on his own.
I mean, his demo numbers are strong, so I'm not, like, totally against that, but it feels like we need to appeal to – I feel like we've got the white male demographic.
I don't know about that. Like, I think Confirm Shoot can really offer a different perspective because he's, like – he may be a white guy, but he's, like, 10 years older than us. So that's a different ballgame, right? That's what we're looking for here, right?
But what about if you
I mean, like, just some range amongst our male voices would really be appreciated, you know? That's what I think they'll want. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So I think we go Jack Crosby, Robert O'Neill, or Confirm Shoe. I think, you know, either of those directions, and we added a lot of different dimensions to this show.
Do we need to push more, like, merch?
Or
that would help, yeah. But you know, that's a bonus thing, I think. More male voices is this where we start, and then we can make T-shirts.
But what about if...
I mean, I don't know. Like, this is... I just think the Robert O'Neill thing needs to be kicked around. That's what I'm saying.
All right. We can do more Robert O'Neill. I'm for that. I feel like we need, like, one more big thing, though. At least one more big thing.
A woman.
I think a rainbow logo would probably work.
That's good. I like that.
There we go. Right. Boom. Yeah. There we go. Right. Come on. Here we go.
We got good stuff on the table, Joseph. Good talk. Good job. I feel like we're on the right track here. Good meeting, Joseph. I'll see you in a few minutes for the show.
Fuck, man.
And I said, psychotic.
This one's for all the pals. And O'Neill starts to feed from the jaws of victory with the pop gun and the chubby cheese. Distraction. Hey. Podcast. Wins and losses, don't mean shit. So what's Joseph Grinch as I do his bit? Distraction. Hey. Roll up. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined as always the big chief, Joseph Holbert. Joseph, how are you, buddy?
Well, I want to credit you. That was very good stuff. It was a good idea. I thought we did a good job with that. More to come, folks. Stay tuned. Hey, if ever there was a week to say this, let it play out, folks. Yes. Let it play out.
Let it play out. JJ starts us off with the usual super chat. One of my favorite big stars. Hope you are doing good. AEW has signed a lot of talent, but it's more important to remember your roots. Punk giving his shoes away look great. Would you like shoes? Much love. I mean, I have shoes. Do you have shoes?
Just any old shoes? Yeah. Oh, sure.
Shoes, right? We got shoes. Thank you to Hannah, who's in the chat, Cher Delaware. Tremendous, as always. What do we got to talk about? Anything? Oh, man, he's popping it open. You know what? We are going to hot shot an angle right here because we do got to get these ratings up. Jack Crosby is here. Jack, how you doing, buddy?
I was out of the house 10 minutes ago. I was driving. I could have got 10 speeding tickets to get back here because when I saw Sean post those ratings, I said, I ain't missing this week. No. We can't have that shit. You're not gonna gloat about winning the ratings war. No.
Jack is I explained to Jack that he's our Undertaker. And I said, my exact words were, you know, before the baby, like, he came on often to try and get his appearances in. That was like Taker working a Saudi build, you know, like he's got his way. That was my explanation.
Van Twin Blade says, Jake something ripped my sign up this month's Glory Pro. I'll have my revenge. Good luck. Just punch him in the face. Kick him in the dick.
Don't do that. No, he's a very big man.
Nah. Yeah. I have faith in you.
I mean, I do too, but just don't punch Jake something in the face. That feels like bad, you know.
Seems bad.
We got your back. We got your back, Van.
Up for Jack.
Guys, get your super chats in. Get your question, comment, statement read on the air. What are you talking? We're here to talk about cowboy shit, right? That's what we're doing. Joseph, I know you're fired up about old Hangman coming back here. You had faith all along. You never wavered. I give you credit for that.
I let it play out, Jeremy. I always let it play out. I'm famous for letting it play out. Jack Crosby's in a famous group chat with me that you're not in, Jeremy. And he can tell you I let it play out, right, Jack? I always let it play out.
You let everything play out.
And I never thought it would be that absolute fraud. Bud Matt as the Joker was never a game for that. The Switchblade Knife Pervert Man, no, wasn't him. Oh. Hangman Adam Page, baby, all hell.
I figured it would be Hangman. You know, there was certainly some stuff thrown around of who it could be, but Hangman made the most sense. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, people who watch the show know I was a little bit concerned, and not that they would lose track of this story, just that like. Dude, they're bringing in Danielson, Punk, and Cole. That's three top stars right there. You know, how would Hangman like be received with all of this stuff? The AEW fans didn't budge at all. They're like, oh, our guy's back. Let's go. Let's fucking go. And they were all in, all back in on Hangman Page. You know, Joseph, we talked about potentially he gets a shot through the tournament and they delay it a little bit. Ain't delaying nothing. Full gear. That belt's coming to Hangman. And then a couple days later, it's going to Miro.
We're not doing that. Jack Crosby, you just fired up as me about the cowboy being back, brother. Oh, hell.
Of course. It was great. And I tweeted last night. What happened on Dynamite last night was the absolute worst case scenario for all the people that said, oh, Punk, Danielson, oh, that's it. Hangman's done. And I said at the time, I think it was on the show. I said, no, that's not how this works in this company. Hangman is the guy. It doesn't matter who they bring in. Hangman is the guy. But that, again, speaks to the connection of AEW to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's guy.
Look at last week. We closed last week with Sammy Guevara. You know? All of the guys that you want featured are still featured. They're just being brought up by this increased star power. I do want to quickly say there's an allegation in the chat that I'm drinking Coke Zero. Which is filth. It's Pepsi Max. Please know that and sponsor me soon. But I just want to get that. No, you're absolutely right. I think... You know, I'll be honest with you. I think, and I said this on the show, there was place to be open-minded when you get guys like Brian and Punk. Like, if Full Gear was Brian and Kenny too, I wasn't going to, like, go crazy. Like, I get it, right? But I think we always believed, listen, Hangman's the guy that's got to beat Kenny. It's a matter of when, not if. And I mean, look, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think we're all pretty cocksure that that's exactly where we're headed now, right? Hangman, I didn't actually see the promo because here we do not get... Road to the top, and I did not seek it out. But, you know, I from what I gather, his point was basically, I'll use it at the perfect time.
Yeah.
Full gear, bro. I mean, that's the time. 1 year ago, the tournament final, Kenny beat him in the middle. It's going to be when they conclude this arc, it'll be one of the great arcs in wrestling history. And I don't say that lightly. I think it's really a story. Because what people miss about it is Hangman was over, but you can't overstate how much he's climbed in terms of audience respect and appeal over the last 2 years, right? Like, this arc hasn't just worked as a story. It's actually got Hangman over to a different degree. When he was first the top guy working Jericho, people didn't fully buy or connect with it. So it's an absolute home run, slam dunk, all of the above, and that ain't just complete it with the finishing touches. And I cannot wait to see Hangman with that belt around his waist. It's going to be incredible.
It'd be cool if it was still in St. Louis and, you know, Tony Khan wasn't a coward. Yeah.
But... That does bum me out every time they advertise that show. I'm like, well, I mean.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, is what it is.
Yeah. Like it was great. They've done great with this story. I thought he was going to come back last week in Rochester to reunite Dark Order. I like the way they did that last week with it being -1 and Amanda kind of getting them back together. And then Hangman said, I know because you don't get Road to the Top, you missed it, Joseph, but he said, like, I got to go talk to some friends. I got to see some old pals and everything. So I'm assuming we'll get that segment this week on Dynamite. I don't think they're going to do anything on Rampage with that. I'm assuming we'll get that segment this week. I think we'll probably get like a Dark Order Elite kind of matchup before Full Gear. The weird thing is Tony Schiavone said in the backstage segment, he's like, hey, when are you going to cash that in? It gave me big Money in the Bank vibes. And I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know if it quite works like that. I hope that it's not a gimmick like that. And if it is, then Hangman takes the face approach and is like Full Gear. Like, no, none of this bullshit of let me cash in after a long match.
No, I think Tony just misspoke. I think that, like, not saying, like, Hangman could come out on a random Dynamite and say he's cashing the chip. Like, he could go to Tony Khan and say, at Full Gear,
That's what I figured it was. Again, you hear cash in and...
It's the casino thing is what I think their terminology is, because it was the big poker chip.
It also doesn't help. Like, if you think about it, the verb cash in applies more to the poker chip than it does WWE's briefcase.
I don't know if Schiavone actually, I'll be honest, I don't know if Schiavone's watched enough WWE TV over the last 15 years to know.
Probably is. It's definitely just like he saw the poker chip. He's like, when are you going to cash in your chips? Like, I totally get that. Again, when I hear cash in, my mind goes to WWE. Yeah. We're not doing that. And I know I'm like 99.9% sure AEW is into doing anything like that. And we're going to get one-on-one Full Gear. It's going to be announced and it'll be advertised plenty beforehand.
I do have to say on the Schiavone thing, and going back to BTE from a few weeks ago, I love the bit of first Adam Cole not realizing that Hangman Page was on the outs with the Elite and saying he was going to go hang and have some beers with him, and they were like, this is awkward. And then last night, Hangman acting like he didn't know Adam Cole worked there now.
That's the first feud. Adam Cole taking that title, the most over man in the company. He said, boom, Joseph. Did you hear that?
He's been just fabulous, hasn't he? Yep. How good has he been in AEW? Rules.
You want to admit you're wrong about Adam Cole?
I do it every week, but I'll do it.
How many times did I have to sit here? The guy is a superstar. Yeah. Like, he is the definition of a superstar. WWE should be, they really should. Like, letting him get away was a crime.
Yeah.
And we see it week in and week out. So as time goes on in AEW, they fucked up.
It's not even just like letting him get away, like wanting to change his name, shave his head, potentially be a manager. And because he couldn't use Twitch, like they weren't going to allow him to use Twitch either. Just the dumbest reasons to let this man. They pushed him out the door. They didn't let him get away. They were like, "Get out of here, man! You can't do any of the
this,
fun shit."
Let's be real though. This is where he belongs, man. Like, this is his highest ceiling. This is the promotion. No one has come from WWE and felt more at home immediately than Adam Cole, which isn't a surprise because the Elite connection. But like, he's just, this is where he belongs, you know. And if the timeline was different, I'm sure he would have been here all along. So like, But yes, you're correct. I mean, it is an absolute all-timer that the one guy everyone circled and said he's going to go to AEW, they managed to let that contract just like, well, when is it up? But, you know, WCW, everybody, right? That's the deal. But
and then Adam Cole is a nice enough man to give them a negotiating window where he says, okay, I am willing to talk to you, which Adam, when you hear the stories about him, the person, like nicest person in the world, he was willing to stay in WWE if the negotiations went right. So all you have to do is tell the guy, all right, Adam, here's what we're going to do. You go to Raw, SmackDown, and then just to me, go out there. Do your Adam Cole, baby. They did the exact opposite.
Yeah, but they don't and this is a, like, this is not even a conversation worth having because everyone knows this, but like they just don't operate like wrestling. It's like there's no way anyone was going to sit him down. Like, you're going to work this guy, and then we're going to get you ready for a title program. Like, they don't know any of that shit. They're just doing stuff, and that's fine. But he's absolutely at home in AEW. And I'll be honest with you, and this is not a prediction because I think a multi-man's more likely. I would not be surprised if you get a big Hangman Adam Cole singles this month. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I'm not saying it will happen, but it wouldn't shock me as like a kind of first point in the in a feud that I think is going to kind of define the promotion for the next 3 years. It wouldn't shock me at all.
I'm for it.
I can see them doing something. If you do it before Hangman beats Kenny,
yeah,
you could do. You could have Hangman beat Cole, but then Cole is the man to take the title.
You circle back to it, but then
Cole takes the title from Hangman.
And I think last night's match set the table for this. I think Hangman's first pay-per-view title defense will be Moxley. I think Moxley is more and more not being a heel, but he's leaning into this direction of like just angry dude, right? And he took some shots at Hangman. Yeah, and they had that big brawl when he came in, and then obviously the finish was those two. They don't do stuff like that on by accident, or it's not coincidence. Those two guys were locked together. I think you're going to see a kind of shades of gray John Moxley chasing after Hangman, I think, for the belt before long. So, I mean, I thought that match, we're talking about Hangman here, and rightly so, but I don't like the Casino Battle Royales match. I don't like the five guys coming at once, or four guys coming at once, sorry, whatever it is. I think that Casino Ladder match deal is like really smart, because you have the in-ring excitement of a ladder match, a Money in the Bank match, with the spectacle of a rumble. And it was good TV, I thought. I thought it worked a lot better as a TV main event than a match in the middle of a four-hour pay-per-view. It worked great as TV.
I think Moxley makes sense as the first opponent. I think you're getting a pack television match because they did the Deadeye through the table with good that. Call. And that was first Dynamite, right? Hangman and Pac. That was like the first feud for them. I think you're going to get that as a title defense as well, probably on TV. But Moxley makes a lot of sense as the first pay-per-view match.
Well, I mean, they did a lot. That match was a remarkable mix of established and ongoing feuds, as well as people we've never seen match up, which is what Andrade brought to the match. Now, I need to say this because I'm one of his biggest fans. They got to get the ball rolling with him. I thought he looked incredible last night, man. Did you see the bumping Andrade was doing last night? It was almost like he made a point of like, I'm going to make everyone look incredible here. He needs to get put in the ball game because when he gets rolling, Andrade is in that top tier in terms of in-ring guys in that promotion. And that's saying something considering who they got. So he's looking at, I just thought the match was a smash. I mean, look, Matt Hardy is obviously, he is what he is now, but bless Matt. I mean, that probably killed him doing that leg drop. That must have. He looked like he was in agony. I thought everyone nailed it. I just thought, and it's hard because it's like you don't want to be hyperbolic or go in circles. But like, I just thought last night's TV was just excellent, man. It flowed. The in ring was great. Open strong, close strong. I thought Bobby Fish looked like he'd found the fountain of youth.
He looked.
I told you that was going to happen. I told you that.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you say this at, Jack?
Actually, it might have been a personal. I don't know if there's a chat or
in the group chat that I'm not part of.
It may have been.
I didn't know what to expect from Bobby Fish because when he returned to NXT, wasn't looking good. Was not looking good at all. I don't know if he just didn't have the motivation or what it was. Maybe the injury he came back too soon. Whatever it was, did not look great. I don't know how we looked at MLW this past weekend, obviously, since that isn't aired or anything. But yeah, he certainly looked like a guy like, oh, this guy's still very good in the ring. And like certainly a guy who can keep up in ring with AEW and a solid, just solid veteran presence who you can go out there, have good television matches, and you don't mind him losing and stuff. Do we think this was another deal of, as we've seen this a million times, where they didn't know he wasn't signed beforehand. He had such a good showing. They were like, yeah, let's just give Bobby Fish a contract. You think he was signed beforehand?
I personally do. And this is not reporting. Yeah. Please do not report this, but I think you can kind of sound the alarm bells in terms of his Canadian friend, Kyle O'Reilly. I would guess. I don't know the situation with Kyle. As an outsider, as a fan, I don't see where Kyle currently fits in WWE because as a singles, he was struggling.
On Tuesday?
Right. Yeah. So as a singles, I thought he was struggling to find his place in the old NXT. The new NXT isn't about guys like him, and that's fine. That's their choice, whatever. I haven't got a problem with it. But unless you're going to put him in a team and put him on the main roster in, like, you know, those terrible tag divisions, I just think, again, I don't know the situation, but it wouldn't surprise me if heading into next year you have Bobby and Kyle was Red Dragon again. And listen, man, I mean, Red Dragon versus Santana and Ortiz, Red Dragon versus the Lucha Bros. You can do that stuff. Like, and I think I spoke about this on Patreon last night, latenightgreen.com. You know, you can – I think they need some top teams that are brand new just for fresh matchups. They don't need them so much, but it would be nice to have Red Dragon. It'd be pretty cool, right, to sprinkle that over the top. So that's just a guess. I think Bobby was signed, frankly. They moved pretty quick on that, right, Jack? I don't know. Am I misreading this one?
No, I think Bobby was signed. Yeah. Like going into last night. I don't think that was come back and Cody Rhodes gives you a hug and says, "All right, kid, good job. Guess what? Got a contract for you." No, I think that was signed when he did the Twitter thing. I think Bobby was locked in from there. Mm-hmm. Which good for that. Look, I think he's a great get for that company. Someone like Bobby Fish, if you can get him, take him.
Yeah. The phrase that Jeremy used was perfect, where he said, "A guy that you can beat on TV," and that's something that people lose sight of. When you have great talent, like, you know, Daniel Garcia, or now Lee Moriarty's coming in. Daniel Garcia, you're happy to have him lose to Punk, Moxley, but you're not going to have him lose to guys in the middle because you want to treat him as a future, you know, star, a prodigy. Lee Moriarty will be the same. Dante Martin is the same, frankly. You can only have him beat by top guys. Bobby Fish can reasonably beat or lose to the whole middle pack.
Yep.
And on TV, he won't beat them much, you know, but that's not the point. And that's what Sydal has been so perfect at.
That's a good example.
They will use him on Dark Elevation and like pad that win loss record. And he'll come out there and be like 18-3 and lose to Moriarty and be like, man, this is a big win. He beat Bobby Fish on television, who always loses on Dynamite, but is somehow 18-3.
Kazarian's another example of it in the chat. It's a good one, too.
Real quickly, I'm going to catch up on some super chats. Chase Powder says, Jax Knowles hat is an auto win in the ratings now. Are they good this year, Crosby?
No.
Okay. Josh Baker says, Paige is so over. He got denim dad Max Mox booed.
Yes.
Kevin Seitz says, I got worried with the Jay White rumor yesterday. Even though I love Jay White, I needed to be Hangman last night.
Jay White will come in because he's going to be AEW champion on day one. He's going to be like AJ Styles in New Japan. Day one, Jay White's going to be AEW champion. Don't worry.
That's interesting. He's got a long contract with New Japan. Long. By all accounts, I don't know.
Bud Murph versus Malakai Black in Philly, December 18th.
Yep. From Shad. We're going to review that on the Patreon if we can watch it live or if we have to wait. We're going to do something about that. That match should be awesome, right? I mean, that guy's had great matches on WWE TV, so without any constraints in Philly, I'm sure they're going to rock it. So
I think it'll be on like the high spots, like the day or so after.
Good. I mean, I'll watch it. I'm up for it. I'm in.
Ryan Sullivan says, everyone needs to respect Joe. Let it play out, Holbert, and his patience. Victory.
famed Joe, patient wrestling viewer.
Frank says, I read the Hangman backstory thread on Twitter. It's my fiance, so she would know why I pissed myself when he came out. What a moment. You won, pals. Well, I mean, I don't know if you won if you pissed yourself, Frank. Seems bad.
That rules. Just pissing your pants at professional wrestling is awesome. I'm all for that.
Drew Nicholas says the loss of Cole plus WWE's inability to cave just slightly to keep him over is seriously a stain on their business practices, aside from the billion other stains. Yeah, they got plenty of those.
They don't care, man. It's not worth worrying about.
They're all cogs. They're all cogs, man. Hannah says Matt Hardy is held together by bubblegum, paper clips, and old rubber bands at this point.
He's a great example of, I believe the great Tape Machines has used this phrase where he's like, wrestling is done in the brain, not the knees, you know? And like Matt, I'm not saying he has classics, but he is surprisingly competent, because if you see Matt just move around, like, he's struggling out there, right? Like, his knees are shot, but he understands what his role is. I mean, last night, he knew he had that one spot to hit.
Yeah.
And God bless him, he hit it, didn't he? I mean, the place popped, people were happy to see him, like, I don't know. I honestly think Matt is a great example of where the AEW is so strong. He's like, I don't like the broken Matt stuff at all. We were doing the distraction, and people know that. And like, they've pivoted to this you know, big money Matt do. And it's like, I just think it's a good use of a guy that people recognize and he's familiar. He doesn't wrestle much, right?
And look, Tony Khan was nice enough when Matt came in to say, all right, let's see if this broken Matt stuff still carries some weight. And it was, yeah, it wasn't long before he's like, okay, Matt, it doesn't. So figure something else out.
Yeah. Well, that's because the crowds weren't there, Jack. If the crowds had been there.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was, yeah. Listen, it would have been better, okay, but that weren't the fit. It just didn't fit. That happens sometimes.
Nah. It didn't.
No. The beauty of Matt is, like, he's – it always sounds like a diss when I'm saying it, but I don't mean it away. He's like – he has that element of Jericho on a lower level where he's very good at, like, different – like, portraying different versions of himself. There's a lot of different faces of Matt Hardy through the years, you know? He isn't generally a top guy as it is with Jericho. That's just how his career panned out. Like, Matt's got a lot of different incarnations and versions of his moves. And this is, you know, big money Matt saying he did in TNA 5 years ago. And it works. It fits better in AEW. So I think it's been a hit, you know, relative. So
it certainly works because you just pair him up with, especially guys like Private Party and stuff. I heard there's some discourse about Private Party. Joseph, do we need to talk about this?
I'm told that people think they're bad. I mean, that's the discourse. I don't know if it's any more than that. I think they're very good.
I like Private Party. I wish they'd start getting featured a little bit more.
I did
like along the lines of when AEW first went on TV.
I think it's time
to start pushing them back to the forefront a little bit more instead of just being the lackeys.
Because they're actually more prepared for that role now than they was then, right? They're a lot more polished now.
I'd like to see more of the heel version.
Yes. They've been great. I know you don't watch a lot of it, Jack, because you're actually busy, but they've been really good on the YouTube shows as heel. Like, they've really – Matt's improved. I don't know if it is, man. I shouldn't credit him. I don't know. But, like, they're a much more – fundamentally, they're a much more traditional heel team, but they still have the awesome tag moves that they became famous for. They're a really good team.
This is where I want to see, like, kind of more out of the Hardy family offices instead of just being 20 guys and Matt doesn't have – he's just kind of leader of them all. I want him to take more of a liking – to Private Party and bless the Butcher and the Blade, they can go wherever and Helico and Jack Evans. But that, I mean, they, you know, they're hired mercenaries, as I'm saying. They can drift in and out. And Helico and Jack Evans, they certainly have a role. I would like to see Matt Hardy take more of a liking to Private Party and coach them up with that tag team stuff. And I want that more on television.
I get that completely. I think, you know, I'd love to see them guys work the Lucha Bros for the belts because they're doing a lot of Lucha Bros TV title matches right now. So
yeah, where they just put somebody in number one in the rankings.
Well, I mean, it's, you know,
this match.
We're seeing them adjust to how you book the Lucha Bros as champs compared to how you'd book the Bucks, right? The Bucks were always visible. They were next to Kenny. They were these over-the-top characters you had in ring promos. The Lucha Bros aren't going to do that. I mean, I know it's kind of silly because the way they operate the ratings, but like, I'm kind of all for every week a heel team just being like, we'll fight you, and they just kick the shit out of them. Like, you know, the Lucha Bros are an in-ring team. They're electric in-ring. And so you play to their strengths, which is saying the promotion does well. I mean, speaking of titles, I think it's worth talking about the TBS title, right, being introduced last night. That was a big thing. I don't know if you got some super chats first, Jeremy, but that was a big – I mean, that's a conversation worth having in terms of where you go with that belt, but – I don't know.
We will. The only super chat that we've gotten that's new is LBO Leo, Private Party, and Top Flight. Please. It certainly looks like they're going to Leo and Dante. I assume Darius. Leo did a podcast with Vicky Guerrero today that I listened to. He was very complimentary of Dante Martin. And this was recorded before last night's Dynamite. So it seems like they had that direction, and Leo kind of knew he wanted to work with him in some capacity beforehand. Then once Darius comes back, that'll be a thing. I don't know if you want to add Private Party to that, though, because then...
So someone in our Patreon chat, and if they're here today, I hope they claim this because this was their idea. Someone said the play is Leo with Jade, and I think that is the most money shit I've ever... Like, the dynamic of those two standing next to each other, they've both got this presence in their own right. You know, but I don't know. I've not seen them. I'd assume Jade is quite a bit taller than Leo, I would guess.
Yes.
But Leo's such confidence. Like when he was with Lashley, his personality was so big, he never looked, you know. I love that idea.
I was just going to say, credit to WWE where it's due. They let us all know that Leo as a mouthpiece is amazing.
That was a great play.
Like they let us know that Leo should have let him wrestle a little bit more, but AEW, they'll do that. So get it right this time. Let him be a mouthpiece for someone and let him wrestle all the time.
Yeah.
Let him do both.
just I love that dynamic of those two. You know, you can when Leo wrestles, Jay can be a heater, and when Jade wrestles, Leo's the complete cowardly mouthpiece. You know, I just think that would be great. But yeah, the TBSR, we can get in more depth. I think we did this a couple weeks back, but it's worth doing. So last night's match, I think, was relevant in that whole thing. I think Hill Sheeta is going to be the first TBS champ. However, last night's match didn't lean too much in that direction. It was more about Serena turning heel, which popped me because I thought she was a heel. they were very confused at her cheating, and I didn't fully get that, but that's maybe on me. Jack, instincts, first TBS champ. Who are you thinking?
Serena, and then you let Ruby chase.
Oh, hell yeah. That's good stuff. Jeremy?
I think I said last week, I said Anna Jay. We got to remember about this. This title doesn't seem like it's coming up until January.
Of course, right. But yeah. The tournament, I think, will start relatively soon. I think they're going to do a pretty long tournament.
I don't know, because the way their social media phrased it is like the title will be introduced in January. Does that mean that they're going to crown the first champion then? Or is that when the tournament starts? It was very unclear.
Well, the February pay-per-view is Revolution, right?
Yeah, you can start the tournament in January and conclude it at the pay-per-view. Like, it was unclear to me. If anybody in the chat has thoughts on kind of what their read on it, to me, it was pretty unclear when this title is actually going to be introduced.
Just conceptually, like, you know, looking ahead, who do you think is the best fit for that role, I guess, is the question then.
See, I like Serena as that because, especially if you're going to treat it like the TNT title, you need somebody who's going to go out there and have good, strong matches and can kind of take on anybody. And Serena's kind of... But, you know, you talked about it, Joseph, is this is kind of now their NWA women's title when they had that on TV. And Serena filled that role. I like Serena there. I think Sheeta is a good call as well. I would... Ruby's good. They got options, right? They certainly got options. But yeah. I think you come out with a heel champion to kick it off.
One thing I will say is I think that Britt Baker has a legitimate gripe where when they showed her that design of the title, she should have said, wait a minute, hold on. How about you take this and then you redo my stuff on that?
Yeah.
Why is that belt so better?
Yeah, it is. It is a lot better looking. Is there any chance that Britt drops the women's title and becomes the first TBS champion?
I don't think so. I think Britt's. I don't know when it will be, but I think we all kind of agree Britt's dropping it to Thunder Rosa, right? Yeah. So then you have to. My guess would be Britt drops it to Thunder Rosa. I'm going to assume they then turn Britt babyface via Jamie Hayter. This is all way ahead. I'm just projecting stuff here, okay? Because I think when she drops a belt, like, there's no... To me, it's then you do a new thing with Britt and you actually embrace the fact that people love her. That's the route. And then you need to figure out which heels are going to work Thunder Rosa for the belt. So to me, this is why Ruby is... And that's why I like Jack's answer of Serena and then Ruby chases. To me, the TBS title works very much as a Ruby vehicle for the next, you know, 6 months or whatever, because Thunder Rosa is a babyface champ. So I don't know when Ruby's going to get her hands on the big AEW woman's title.
Yeah.
Her as TBS, especially if she gets, like, comfortable, because she's only wrestled a few matches in the last, like... I mean, let's be honest. In the last 2 years, she's wrestled, like, a handful of matches over 4 minutes long. And that's not her fault. That's just the way it was where she was. I know that she worked for the YouTube shows this week, so that'll be fun. Get her in rhythm. I think she can be an excellent workhorse champ. So, like, I think she's the end game, no matter who you put on first. That's why I think Jack's call of her chasing Serena makes a lot of sense, honestly.
Who does Britt face at the pay-per-view? Like, I mean, Jade's ranked number one in the rankings. I don't think they're going there that early, but I don't know how you knock Jade out of number one, unless you do a battle royal type gimmick and she loses, and that's how they crown their number one contender. It doesn't feel like there's... Because Thunder Rosa took the pin on Friday. So, look, they can heat her up very easily, but Thunder Rosa taking that pin makes it seem like, oh, she ain't challenging for the title.
I don't think you're wrong to say that, but I think their play is actually, in their mind, it's like, that's going to be the feud, is we're going to do Rosa and Jade a little bit more. That's what I think. I don't know. Okay. And I think the payoff to that will be Thunder Rosa eventually being the first person to pin Jade. Because there has to be an end. Let's be honest, guys.
Yeah.
Undefeated streaks, firstly, you have to be very careful with them anyway. And I don't think Britt should be the person that beats Jade first. That seems puzzling to me. So I think Bill Murphy mentioned it. I think Ty Conti is an outside choice. I'm not confident about that. Riho,
imagine the moves Ty Conti's going to hit on Britt Baker.
What does that mean? That sounded like
she just hits a bunch of moves. I love Ty Conti. She just hits you with all the moves in the book, Joseph.
Oh, right. You meant it like in a wholesome way. I thought you was being sort of, you know, Bob O'Neill Twitter-esque. No, I think Ty Conti's great. I'd be honest with you, though, I don't have an answer. I don't know if you do, Jack. Like, it seems like a really difficult
one.
No.
As I'm sitting here thinking, and as we're talking through it, I don't know. Right. I don't know.
I think Thunder Rosa being the first person to beat Jade, and because, like you said, Joseph, win streaks can't last forever. It's not feasible. You use Rosa as like, in a singles match, she beat her in a triple threat match, right? She used the chair. That's how she beat
her.
You do a singles match and it's like, oh, well then Thunder Rosa's experience just got the better of her. Jade rebuilds. This is maybe where Leo comes in. Like, you know what?
There you go.
Mark ain't working for you anymore. You know, let me do the buyout thing and come over here. And then you can go with Jade and you don't have to worry so much about protecting that undefeated streak, and you can rebuild her and give her more time and seasoning and everything. And then Rosa can move on to the Brit match.
The Jade stuff's really difficult because I do think as much as the raw ingredients there to be excited about, and they need to present her as a star because she has star potential, they do have to be careful because sometimes you can do a disservice to young talent by like putting them in positions to fail. And I'll be completely honest with it, and this is not an insult. She's brand new, so I say it with love. I don't think the Jade Cargill Britt Baker match would go particularly well, to be quite frank with you.
I don't mean this as an insult. I like the presentation of Jade right now.
Yeah.
She's not ready for that top tier yet.
I don't think so. That's why I was, I'll be honest, I was alarmed that she won that triple threat.
I'm on the bus with everybody else that she's going to be a massive star for that company someday. But that someday does not have to be right now.
Yep. And if you go too quick, you're going to hurt the someday because people are going to make their mind up. And that's what worries me about it. But I get it. Like, she's so unique and she jumps off the page that you get, you know, they're going in that direction. I just don't think it's, I don't know. I mean, there's options here. Like, Big Swole came up, and Swole and Britt has the history, which is like something. I don't think Big Swole has been nearly visible enough to really make that sank that hits. You could do it. It wouldn't be a big deal though. Statlander, you just did at the pay-per-view. I don't know, man.
Ruby, like, it seems like if you go on anywhere, it's Tay or Anna Jay.
Well, this be fair.
They've been on television.
What did they do when John Moxley didn't have a natural opponent at all out? The Forbidden Door, right? Just do some Forbidden Door shit. I don't know. This go to Impact Wrestling. This do something. Women have never got that card. They've never got that, right? So
pull the Deanna card. Yeah, you're right. Pull the Deanna card from the deck.
The Deanna thing Mickey makes sense because you can beat Mickey. The Deanna thing, and Britt and Deanna have both kind of backed off of facing each other because they realize one of them has to lose, and they're both champions, and neither of them wants, you know, their promotion, their title to look weak in that aspect. Right. So they've talked more about like teaming and stuff in some of their more recent interviews. Mickey makes sense because assuming she's not the champion, she doesn't win it at Bound for Glory, then you can beat Mickey. And it's
the chat has gone in the Jordynne Grace direction, which I'm actually also for, because that's a lot more feasible.
Yeah,
you're not going to beat Deanna, and like Jordynne's a top female star in Impact, but she's not like someone that you couldn't beat on pay-per-view. You know, like, no, I think there's options. And here's the thing, guys. I'm not saying that's good. Your title program should have more to it than just like...
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We've brought someone from another promotion. However, they did. To be fair, they did it with Thunder Rosa and Sheed, I guess. But like, I do get when fans of women's wrestling say it to me, like, it's really fun, the Forbidden Door stuff, but it'd be nice if it was on the other side too. I get that also. So like, if you did something exciting, it could be fun. In an ideal world, though, they, you know, have a more obvious solution to be the promotion.
Well, I've said it before, though, the Forbidden Door stuff in a non-COVID world, I think you'd see a lot of AEW guys on New Japan.
Oh, yeah, it's limited.
You'd
yeah,
see sure. a ton of AEW guys traveling yeah. over there if it was normal.
Right. It's just, it's like, I get it. Like, you know, we've had so many cool surprises from, you know, over the last, what, year? And I do get that Impact's women's division is rightly kind of critically revered, and we haven't had that door opened. I understand that completely as a kind of a complaint of sorts. So I would like to see them do that at some point, whether it's Full Gear or not. I don't know. Like, I think this conversation we're having could be viewed as a complete indictment of making a new belt, because like, why do a new belt if you haven't figured out the women's title scene? But I don't think it's actually that. I think they more than have the depth. Like, I think the women's division is like actually pretty strong on paper, like especially compared to what it was 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
They just need to figure out how they're going to portray and present the top women on TV. So, like, when they did the tag feud with Bunny and Penelope and Ty J, like, that was a good step because they were on TV every week doing stuff with each other, which is, like, I know that sounds terrible, but let's be honest, guys, that's progress. A lot of it's start-stop in the women's division. The issue with that stuff was I don't think the in-ring hit to the degree that I wanted it to, just because, like, Anna Jay's so new. Like, she's, you know, and it isn't, I don't think in-ring it was ever going to be, like, a big smash hit. But that was progress, and that's kind of why the more I talk about, like, Ty Conti kind of feels like the play here, because at least she's been on TV regularly. And she's been beating people pretty regularly, hasn't she? I mean, she lost to the Bunny, but then she beat Penelope, I'm pretty sure. So, I don't know. My point being, you need to have the women visible. Like, I'm glad that Ruby's been on TV every week since she lost the title match. Even in pre-tapes, that's fine. Just don't let people vanish like Sheeta just did. I'm sorry. I find that doesn't help anyone, I don't think.
That's why I think it might be Conti or Anna at the pay-per-view, because they have been on television. I think Thunder Rosa, if you can heat her back up, that's the person to take the title from Britt. Do they want to take the title off of Britt this soon, though?
I wouldn't.
Because, I mean, she's had a very strong run, and she's by far the face of the division, I should say. And like, do they want to take that title off of her so soon? Like, if Thunder Rosa is going to beat her, then do you want to do it now? Or do you want to stretch it out until you can build up the division below Britt longer with more television time?
The advantage in Britt right now that they have, that they should thank their lucky stars for, is that they have longevity with Britt Baker, because yeah. She's having this amazing run as champion. And even though the crowds are cheering for her and they like her, they like everything she does, the DMD and whatnot, she's still a heel. You can keep that title on her, but you know that eventually the script is going to flip, and yeah. then Britt's going to be the babyface chasing the heel. So you get more Britt on the other side of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and that's you where get so much of Britt Baker that's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So let this run right now. Let it drag out a little bit because you have something good on the other side.
Well, I completely, and I think that is, I know that I could probably go ahead of myself. I don't think it's happening anytime soon, but that does feel like the play with Jamie Hayter eventually, right? Like she's going to, you know, she'll be the heel and Britt will have to kind of fight up heel and do that whole program. I'll be honest, I'm not against Britt losing the belt anytime soon because I like long title reigns, but like, I don't think you have to do them just because. And to Jack's point about longevity, I think it works the same way in that, like, she's going to win this belt a whole bunch. You know, yeah. She's the centerpiece.
Yeah.
I don't need the first run to, I mean, this would, if she lost it at Full Gear, the reign would be like just shy of 6 months. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a good reign. I'm easy. I just, the real key is, and I think this is the important conclusion of this conversation, is like, let's be honest, the key is that they know where Britt's going at Full Gear. As long as they know, and it makes some sense when it happens on TV, I think we're all willing to say it's been a positive few months for the women. If they do not know, however, and they're going to have the conversation we're having now, which would be, I frankly would be quite un-AEW of them, that's what concerns me. I still think since they've been back on the I'd say it's probably, I'm trying to think here of a good timeline. The last 5 weeks, maybe, I'll throw out there. I think the women's division with Rampage has been helped by that show because yes. There's been a more visibility, right? Like, I don't think, look, it'd be nice if they did two wins matches on a Dynamite rather than making it this weird, like, yeah, only one regulated. But having the Rampage has meant they have two TV matches and they've been able to connect some of those with the tag feud I mentioned. So I think it's been a good step. There's been some nice pre-tech promos. I like that last night they did those, that little, you know, 3-4 promo clip they did with Ruby, Jade, Sky Blue, and I think that was it, right? Like, it's nowhere near where it should be, and they need more meat on the bone story-wise because the audiences are always quieter for those matches, which really is a bummer. I'm not blaming the crowd. Like, the promotion needs to give those matches more meat. They just do. Right. However, I think it's in a better place than it was when they first hit the road again, which is like, does that deserve compliment? Not necessarily, but it is my opinion right now, you know?
I mean, one of their first segments on the road was the Britt and Nyla segment.
Sorry to hear that. Yeah, I just, you know, I think the honest truth of it is I don't think it's as bad as some people portray it to be. And it's definitely not as good as some people want it to be, including myself. It isn't nearly as good as I'd like it to be. Like when Sheeta and Serena go out to their Teresa, when you can tell the audience kind of treats it as like, all right, we're going to chill during this one. That's a bummer. And that is not on the crowd. That's on, you know, AEW can't have Sheeta off TV for 4 months and expect people to still be super interested.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you have to, you know, it's a balance thing. I don't know. It's difficult.
Like on one hand, I'm glad she didn't get the 50th win because it was she needs to just be back on television, be reestablished in that role. But at the same time, now it's like, okay, you delay it. She's just gonna get this win on Dark. That's what I'm worried about now. Does she just pick up this win on Dark? Because when's she gonna be on television again?
I'm hoping it's the story. That's my hope. And if it isn't, I mean, if she just wins it, right? But it feels like there's going to be something to it, right? That's optimism. I don't know.
You would think.
And like to Drew's point about one match a week, like I guess what I was getting at is it should be way more fluid and like they should have enough women's feud rolling that one week they'd be like, man, it makes sense to have two women's matches this week, you know? Like that feels like something they could do like pretty easily, but I think the roster and the way they rotate it, this is not a good look, but it's the truth. I still think they haven't fully figured out how they should rotate the women like they do the men without making it way less like important. You know, The guys is constantly, the guys have like a hot streak where they're on TV a couple of weeks and they go off. There's less women. You can't book them that way, you know, because the reality is there's no hierarchy. There's just like Britt and then everyone else.
Yeah.
You got to focus in a little bit more, I think, on your core group, which I think they're trying to do, but it needs work for sure.
I don't think they certainly don't have anyone as over. I mean, Britt's the most over person in the division, still one of the most over people on the roster.
Yeah. But
past her, like, there's no one.
Thunder Rosa got over huge. And what's the story there? She worked Britt, and they had the big feud, you know? Yeah, I don't know, Jack. Who's the next most over woman after Britt and Rosa?
After
big drop off, right? Yeah,
it's got to be TJ, right?
I was just gonna say, maybe Anna. I mean, I don't want to single either one out. Maybe Anna.
I think Ty is one that we can all objectively agree that while that tag feud was fun, Statlander's good. Oh, Ruby, of course. My bad. Ruby, yeah. She's brand new, so I forgot. That's on me.
Yeah, me too.
Well, Ruby's a debut, and you know, like, they can always bring in the debuts and get those pops and get everybody indeed, over. Yeah.
But what happens, guys, when you run out of pops?
Yeah, happens when the debuts run out and you just don't what have those pops anymore?
When you run out of pops?
That's when you take them on television for 3 months.
I can't believe 34 years watching wrestling or something. And all this, I can't believe I never thought of that. What happens when you run out of pops?
They should do some bad shows, in my opinion, to balance it out. You know?
Yeah, just bad. Throw some absolute shit out there on TNT. See, this
is what's amazing. I'm looking at the chat and the names are coming up and it's like, so you have those two who we all agree you can build a division around, Britt and Thunder Rosa. Chris Statlander's great. Ruby's great. And it's like, that's four right there. You add Ty J, you add Penelope. You're like, the division is really, like, it's a lot stronger than you probably would think watching their TV, I guess is what I'm trying to get across, you know? It's kind of really low.
You even have, like, you have Sheeta, you have Riho. Riho's the first champion. Like, you can do something with
and
that.
Everybody loves Riho. How can you not love Riho?
Yeah, Riho was
everybody like loves
over
Riho.
During that first run. She was over.
Yeah.
But like they haven't done anything with that. So the talent is there. It's just
Layla Hirsch. Yeah, I love Layla Hirsch. She's great. Yeah. She's legit. Good stuff. Jamie Hayter. There's a lot. Look, I guess the conclusion here was do more. Sorry, I'm sorry that's all we considered after 20 minutes. Sorry, guys. That was but it's the truth, right? You really, really sit down and look at it. It's like, man, they got the pieces there. Like, you got to lock in and do the work at that point. To me, anyway. But I liked the match last night with Sheeta and Serena. I'm sorry if we stumbled all over that. That was a good match.
Max says, I'm starting late. The beginning had me dying, giving Bob a corner 30 minutes. Let it just be 28 minutes and breathing and coughing.
Bless Bob. He'll be here in just 10 minutes. We should probably talk about our other subject, right?
He will. Yes, did you watch the countdown, Joseph?
Jack, have you seen this, the countdown to Gage versus Moxley?
No.
They did like a. They did like a.
I have a 1 month old.
It's Gage and Moxley.
You can't have Nick Gage on the TV.
And plus, I thought we were going to talk about Roads to the Top because I do watch that.
We are doing that. That's Bob's segment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's O'Neill's segment. Oh, they, they did like an 18-minute countdown, like UFC style.
Really? Yeah, countdown. It was UFC, it was well produced.
Yeah, it's really good. Nick Mondo did it.
So here's the thing with this. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, no, I was just gonna say like something. Like what's going on with GCW? They're really making
right.
What's going on with them?
People will know this that watch the Twitch streams, especially. Yeah. We've had a lot of conversations about a third promotion. And this is not me patting myself on the back, but I think there is like true evidence of this now. And Jack, I remember you vividly being there for the one we had about Impact, where we kind of did like a diagnosis on what they need to do.
Right.
And I am firmly of the belief that with WWE and AEW, there is enough TV on wrestling for a lifetime. You know, that audience is what it is. GCW is selling events and it's selling matches.
Yeah,
that was my thing, right? And they're doing it, Jack. They're getting over huge.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. To be a legit third promotion, I don't think that's going to work with GCW because these matches that they promote is talent signed to other companies. They're like on a PWG level.
But
they can't be a staple third promote because these big matches they promote are guys signed to other companies.
But that's the same. Impact's doing the same thing. Like that's their biggest matches have Omega and Christian Cage.
Unless
in Impact more over than Nick Gage.
Come on now. Why would you even ask that? You know my
That's what I'm saying.
But here's the thing is like. And I'm not saying they're definitely the third promotion because there's a lot that goes into that. Because here's the thing. Impact has a lot of like globally they have TV deals, I'm pretty sure still. Sure. They're YouTube. But like what to learn there is from this promotion is rather than trying to convince people to watch 2 hours of television every week, instead they are selling you on matches and individuals.
Yeah.
And this YouTube show that you asked me to watch, Jerry, the countdown. That is literally the like setup that I told you about, right? The pitch, like, produce something that promotes the match. Get people to buy the match on a Saturday night, and I think people are going to buy Moxley Engage. Now, in fairness to Jack's point, this is an extreme example because Moxley is Moxley. However, they've sold big matches without John Moxley. You know, Gage and RSP, when they did that at Mania Week, that was a big deal. Not to this degree because he's not John Moxley, but, like, I just think they're a great example of how, like, the wrestling audience is so in tune now and they're so locked into the as hardcores, whatever you want to call it. And the more that AEW shines a light on the wrestling world, you can capitalize without being on some bullshit TV network every week for 2 hours. You know, I just think it's, you know, it's gritty. It isn't this pristine TV studio. Guess what? That is the appeal. That's the point.
And DCW would be presented as the modern day ECW.
Yeah.
Which I think I'm drawing it. Like I understand GCW is not everybody's cup of tea, but I'm drawn into GCW. I'm a fan of them because I like the variety. They provide like a modern day variety in the same vein that ECW did back in the day. Mm-hmm. When you watch a GCW show, you can get a little bit of everything. You're going to get a death match in the main event, but then in the middle of the show, you're going to get a Jonathan Gresham 25-minute wrestling clinic.
See, that's the thing is, like, even in our fame group chat, I can't tell you the amount of times that Jack Roy, that you're not part of, that Jack Roy will send a match poster or graphic from a GCW show and be like, holy shit, we need to watch this, right? Like, just with Suzuki, they booked him a Gresham and Homicide. I'm watching those matches.
They booked one match for Jonathan Gresham against Suzuki, and it got more buzz than anything Gresham's done in ROH over the past.
Yes, and you know I like Ring of Honor. So I don't even like we're trying to be mean about it. It's just like, because they're selling something that's a lot more accessible and a lot more, frankly, palatable. Okay, I don't have to lock into your TV in an empty studio. Instead, you're selling me on this Saturday night in front of a hot crowd, a wrestling match. I mean, you know?
This is why, you know, Jack, you said, like, they can't be the third promotion because they don't have any signed talent. They're using talent from everybody else. That's fine. They're not doing – I mean, they are doing some long-term stories, like the Moxley Gage stuff is, but, like, they can just bring these guys over from these promotions, and they are just selling essentially dream matches and dream fights. And they can still do some long-term story stuff because some of these guys just want to do it. Like, Cardona wants to do it. Moxley wants to do it. They're going to have these guys who are cool with doing this stuff.
The one thing in GCW's favor is that if they want to launch into a different stratosphere, is that they've proven over the last, I'd say, 6-7 years or so, more like 5-6, but they've proven that they can keep recycling talent in and out. Like you said, they can promote the big matches, but they'll always give us some up-and-comer, some new guy that's like, wow, now he's cool. I like him. And, he's cool.
How many people did WWE sign just because they saw GIFs of GCW events from these guys? Like, these indie, when they went on their indie run, and they're like, okay, we're gonna sign Zane and Anthony Green and all these guys. Like, they just saw them
and this, GCW. This is something that I think is, it kind of goes under the radar because there's a lot bigger things to discuss when it comes to AEW. There is a trickle down from the way AEW approaches these promotions. Okay.
Guys, I don't mean to interrupt you. I have to go. I have to take off on you. I apologize.
He's going to miss Roads to the Top. What a shame. Oh, okay, Jack.
I will watch Bob. I love you guys. And I'll try to pop back in next week.
Speak soon, pal.
All right. See you guys.
Bye. My brother is a casual wrestling fan. Okay, he got back in to watch AEW during the pandemic. He loves AEW. I can't tell you, Jeremy, how much his AEW fandom has changed the way he views the lesser promotions. And I am certain that I'm going to convince him to watch Nick Gage versus John Moxley. I know I am. Because when guys show up from outside AEW on AEW TV, they are treated like important part of the wrestling world. Remember Daniel Garcia? This guy just had a 60-minute time to draw. He's incredible. He's the top indie wrestler. And it's like, it's obviously to a point. It isn't like the whole million viewership of AEW goes, oh, sweet, I'm going to tune into, you know, GCW or watch SCI. But, like, I do think it has an effect. And we had Jensen on to talk about this, right, Jeremy, on the direction. Like, I think it's a real thing. And this is what mine's about. Wrestling Reads, great commenter, and he was the one who actually had the Jade and Leo thing, so shout out to him. But he comments, I want to watch ROH, but it's impossible to find. This is what we always joke about, right? It's on their website, guys.
It's on their website. Every Monday.
And I'm not blaming you. They don't even tell you.
No. Every Monday morning, it's on their website. Sometimes it might even be Sundays, but like it's on their website for free.
Yeah.
You can watch that show literally for free.
And you would never know. And here's the truth. The reason for that is they're owned by Sinclair. So Sinclair doesn't want them to promote it. They want them to watch on, you know, it's like, is yes. forget it. But yeah. good Lord, it amazes me. And again, that's not on Rest and Reads. Like, a lot of people say to me, how do I actually watch it? We're doing a Ring of Honor review show soon, guys, weekly, me and the great Robert O'Neill. And I was telling Robert about the TV, and he's like, how do I watch the thing? And I was like, Robert, you can, like, it's the most easy show to watch of all of them. It's on Fight. It's on their website. It's, Fight Post. They have, like, a time slot you can watch it.
It's 7 o'clock on Mondays. They do a watch-along on Fight.
You know, yeah. And look, I'm not saying it's the most exciting show, but it's a combat wrestling show, and I want to make it clear. When I say this stuff about GCW and praise, I don't mean it as a knock on Ring of Honor Impact's product. What I mean is I think it is high time that we all kind of adjust our brains to where the industry is at, you know? And if a wrestling fan is watching on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I think Impact is really going to struggle to make them watch on Thursdays too. That isn't their choice. They're owned by, you know, they've bought a TV. I understand all of that. I get it. But I'm telling you, Jeremy, I saw New Japan explode with running events. They were trying to get people to watch matches. It's a thing, and it's a way to capitalize on the hardcore wrestling fan. Is it a way to be the biggest promotion in the world? No. For GCW, though, we're going to watch it, right? Mox and Gage, man, they've talked us into the building.
I'm so excited for this match. Yeah. That countdown special. Yeah, I mean, you've said it. You've said it many times, Joseph. Like, you can't just do television anymore because everyone does television, and it's just difficult because there are already so many hours of television. Do the UFC approach. Yeah. Just build matches. Just build one big match and then get people talking about that. And however you got to do it, this Moxley thing has been, you can say it's been going back 10 years. It's really since Mania, when Moxley showed up Mania weekend to confront Cage. Like, it's been going since then. They did the Cardona stuff, which is great. That got a lot of buzz for them.
Absolutely.
And then they tied that in with Moxley taking the belt from Cardona and then Gage stepping to him. They have built this Gage and Moxley match. And I'm not really a deathmatch guy. I don't. If it's anybody else, I'm probably not watching it. There's something about Nick Gage that'll just draw you to him. Like, if you watch this countdown special, if you watch the dark side on him, like,
it's great. Yeah.
There is something, dude, when he was talking about Foley. And he's like, oh, I apologize for putting you. He's like, don't you fucking apologize.
He's
good.
Everything I love about professional wrestling, because if you put his skill set on a scouting report, you won't get a lot there to jump. You know, like, it feels dumb even just saying he's a good promo. Like, he's just himself, right? Yeah. Like, he, you know, promo, whatever. But, like, he connects with people.
Yeah.
He gets over. And they lean into it. And then you give him a dynamite, you know, style like Moxley, who's been around the world and been a top guy. I mean, I'm using anecdotal stories here because I just think it's interesting. But when I went to the Josh Uruse fight, one of my friends who knows I cover wrestling, he watched it years and years ago. And he kind of, the fan that's like, oh, AEW seems cool, but doesn't watch it, that kind of deal. And he didn't say a thing about Impact Ring of Honor. And he goes to me, that Matt Cardona shit is crazy. You know, and it's like, because social media can go a long way, and it may not be 100,000 60-year-olds watching it on, you know, on TV, but there's something to this, and the way to expand for GCW, which we're seeing in real time, is more events across the country, like running LA and stuff like that. It's like, you can do it, man. And I think there is, whether you like the death match, as Jack perfectly pointed out, there is variety for sure. But even Gage is the, let's be honest, if you say GCW, you think of Gage, right? The death match. Yeah. But whether you like it or not, there's lessons to be learned from it. And just having an open mind and realizing, like, brother, they've hit an absolute home run with this deal. Moxley, Mick Foley, Nick Gage. We're there.
This is legitimately the thing I've been looking forward to the most all week. Like, and Dynamite had a great lineup, and it was, you know, we say it every week, Joseph, how can every AEW Dynamite be the best AEW Dynamite ever? It was a great lineup. Dude, I'm so pumped for Moxley and Gage. Just cannot wait.
Sold you on the fight, man. That's what it's all about.
That's how it is. And this is what, they don't do it anymore because they thought, oh, weekly television is what you need from the studio. This is what NWA came with, right? Like the Aldis and 10 Storm stuff.
That's when we really got heavy into that conversation of, like, I get people like the studio nostalgia. I do too. So I get it. But, like, you haven't got a TV deal, probably not the time to build your product around TV, you know, but I, people, they're lost in tradition sometimes.
All right, Joseph, are you ready?
No.
Okay, fair. History final. Hello, Robert O'Neill.
What's up, guys?
Kylo Voss says, got my Sorry to Hear That t-shirt yesterday. Lovely quality shirt. I recommend buying it from the Late Night Grinner shop. Hashtag Grinner Circle.
Wow, that was incredible. That was like I planted that in the chat. That was interesting.
Kylo, the man. The man, yeah, the Kylo great. Voss. O'Neill, what are you talking about today? What I'm do you think of Nick Cage, O'Neill?
What's up? Nick Cage is cool. Yeah, I mean, right. I wasn't going to watch A Dark Side of the Ring because I'm like, you know, I don't know anything about this guy. And then I actually watched it and I learned something. And I'm like, yeah, this guy's pretty cool.
Bob, how many pay-per-views do you think we could sell if we did Nick Gage versus Bob O'Neill at the Distraction Wrestling event, WrestleMania weekend?
That's a big show, man.
It would be a big show. Like, imagine Bob's promos. Imagine him coming out with a hat. Oh, shit, man. That's incredible. All right. Anyway, Bob, you ready to review Road to the Top?
I am. I believe we are not having Road to the Top next week, so I don't know what I'll be talking about. I think talk about the Blackhawks on TNT. That'll be good.
Oh, that's right. Oh, they're facing the Avs next week.
Yeah, they are. So we might have to bring Penalty Box back.
Dude, we need a full concept show for next week because we ain't going to have Dynamite.
Oh, true.
We need to have, like, Bob needs to come up with a whole concept for the show. Should we just do another draft?
Yeah, just an AEW draft.
There you go. Let's
do it again. Before you begin, O'Neill, I see Ricardo's kid is sick, and so he's at the hospital. Best wishes to you and the kid.
Ricardo. Yeah, man. That's for sure.
Ricardo Elito del Distraction.
The best name in the chat consistently. Yes. We hope he's better.
100%. All right. Are you ready, O'Neill?
Yeah, we'll see how long this goes. I don't have as much as last week, so should be interesting. Okay. History final. All right, so yeah, we had two episodes last night because they are off next week. I don't know if they're on Saturday. I haven't looked. I probably should, but yeah. So the first episode, you know, Double or Nothing is approaching. Cody and Brandy are both excited about it. It's the last event Brandy's going to be at before the baby comes, and, you know, fans are back. Brandy doesn't really seem to care for QT Marshall being on the bus that they're taking to Jacksonville because she needs her own space on the bus, and, you know, we'll come back to that later. Cody goes to the Nightmare Factory, does some training with people. QT Marshall makes a very gross analogy about wrestling being like climaxing. Cody says, you think you're going slow while you're wrestling, you're not going slow enough. I'm not sure I agree with that, but you know. Ricky Starks is there assisting with the training, even though his neck's broken because he's a great person. Cody goes to hang out with his sister without Brandy because they don't like each other, which is something that they bring up on every show, which I probably wouldn't do, but you know. They talk about the baby a little bit, which kind of a nice moment there. Get into a little bit about how Dusty was on the road a lot and that impacted Dustin, and Cody doesn't want to be like that. I thought that was nice too. So Ricky Starks and Preston Vance and QT Marshall come over to kind of assemble the baby stuff, and they can't figure out the car seat. Then we go back and the Nightmare Express comes and picks up Cody and Brandy, and Cody said he was going to have a bed in there for Brandy and it's not there. So they got some tension between them, but eventually they resolve that and we get to Friday Night Dynamite. Cody and Brandy are hanging out in their dressing room and Eric Bischoff comes in and tells Cody that Dusty would be proud of him. Cody goes over the weigh-in segment with everyone that's in the segment, and then we get to the actual weigh-in and it is a disaster. The scale either doesn't work or Paul White doesn't know how to work a scale. Cody's kind of whispering his actual weight to him and Paul White just can't improvise, which not great. And then they don't get it on camera when Aaron Solo kicks over the scale. So the whole segment, real disaster. That's kind of the end of the first episode. Then we move right into the next one, which is about Double or Nothing. Cody's blaming himself for the weigh-in segment being bad, and Brandy says it's not his fault. Then he hangs out with Eric Bischoff again, and Bischoff tells Cody not to be so hard on himself. Sometimes things don't work out, and that kind of makes it feel more real. Eric tells Cody that, you know, it's all new to him, just like the baby will be, but just look at it as an opportunity. Dusty never had these sort of big opportunities. Focus on what you got here. Everything else will work out. So I thought that was really good wisdom from Eric Bischoff. Brandy's leaving, so everyone's throwing her a party. Luther shows up to get some cake. I had to include that for you, too. Brandy's concerned about leaving because when you leave, your spot's not always there when you get back. She doesn't want to take her full 4 months off. Double or Nothing has arrived, and Cody's in pain, which isn't ideal because he's got to get through the match. A really nice moment with Brandy and Dustin as Brandy's about to leave the road, and Dustin says that he's happy and proud of her and the only one in the family that likes her. And then after Cody's match, he's just physically and mentally worn out. Brandy doesn't know how much longer Cody can keep doing this to himself.
Is that?
Yep.
Physically and mentally worn out.
Good job, O'Neal. History pilot. See how quickly he got through that second episode? He was at like 2 minutes after the first episode.
We need to stop. I feel bad making him do that shit, man. Bob, you don't have to do that anymore, Bob.
No, I mean, it's really like not a bad show. The second episode wasn't very good, but like there are some moments that are actually good in it. Like the family stuff is good. You know, some of the Cody and Bischoff stuff was very good. I like that a lot. But
so I actually, when I did that reaction, I wasn't reacting to Bob. I was actually, and I don't know if we want to talk about this, but I think it's interesting. I was reacting to the brand new Tessa Blanchard shirt. Have you seen this?
There's a shirt? Yeah. No, I've not seen this.
Jeremy, yeah. Put in the chat for a while, so I looked for it. It was.
They're really getting behind the fact that she's, you know, nuclear, which I would probably not publicize as they are.
Where's this shirt at? Where can I see it?
You go to Sean's Twitter, he's quite tweeted, I think.
Oh, wait, I see. Oh.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to be – listen, this is very difficult because I'm not this is not AJ Lee's fault by any means, but I'm going to just say that I'm, like, somewhat upset and disappointed this a thing because I think professional wrestlers are generally pretty, like, questionable people, but AJ Lee actually got out of professional wrestling with some sense of dignity and, like, grace, and, you know, she got out clean, and, you know. It's not. I'm not blaming her. It's God forbid. Like, it's not her fault. But like,
yeah.
I really would prefer she not come back to this project that's centered around her. But that's where we're at, right? Wrestling. I don't know. It's a choice, right, Bob? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if she wanted to get back into wrestling, and you know, maybe this is a role for her. She doesn't want to do like necessarily too much on-screen stuff. I get it, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, because even if it's not like necessarily. You know, they're not working together or whatever, it's still going to be tied together. And yeah, I mean,
exactly. She's the centerpiece of it, you know. It's a shame. And again, that's not me, like, look, it is what it is. I'm not trying to be a dick about it. It's just as like just a fan of professional wrestling, it kind of bummed me out that one of the people that actually managed to, you know, kind of get out without a load of filth on her name. It's just a shame, but yeah, whatever. So next week's show. I believe Jack in the chat said that we should do a full gear prediction. Okay. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Why
not? That's something we could do, right?
Yeah.
We'd have to prepare for that, though, Jeremy.
Do we?
Yeah. I guess not.
for those that care about this kind of stuff, AEW did 1,000,000.053 and 0.37 in the demo. I don't know what these numbers mean anymore, but they're consistently over a million at this point.
Like, yeah, it's hard. At this point, it's hard to really, you know, like it's just like they did good.
Yeah. And they're up against the wild card game. Do you want to talk about baseball very fast, O'Neal?
Yeah. I mean, shirt. I am. Yeah. I mean, the game last night was pretty good. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm excited. There's one starting.
Who's your World Series pick?
I think I'm going to go with whoever wins between the Dodgers and Giants.
Well, you can't. You can't just do that. Like,
I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to get it on record. There, it's on record. Joseph, can I add you back? I think we're done talking about baseball. Okay.
Did you see my tweet to Robert O'Neal while he was doing the corner three?
Oh, God. No.
Yeah. Sent him a video message. No, I wanted to let you guys enjoy baseball. You know, it's not my expert.
I don't. I just want to get O'Neal's prediction on record.
To quote the great confirmed shoot in the chat there, 162 games, who could possibly care? It's an all-time Twitter.
Factual.
Speaking of confirmed shoot, after this show, we're doing the post show, right, Jeremy Lambert?
Yes, Twitch.tv.
Perhaps our last ever post show on Twitch. Perhaps.
I mean, we made a soft announcement. There's more people here. More people will listen to this than will be on Twitch, I'd imagine. We're getting our own YouTube channel, guys. Everybody, please
we fucking won.
Us. Yeah. We're getting our own YouTube channel. There's already 11,000 subscribers to this YouTube channel, Joseph. We're over. fucking over on the YouTube.
Wow, that's tremendous.
So a lot of the content will be moving that we do on Twitch will be moving onto the YouTube, and then we'll still be doing content on Twitch, and we'll be probably doing more content on YouTube. Basically, you're just getting more content. Shoot, if he's available, he's more than welcome to come in here. He has the link. I see him. I know he's in the chat, but I'm saying people like a shoot run it. He can legitimately pop on the show if he wants to. So yeah, we will. Once all that gets going, I'll let everybody know what the deal is there. But that we will be switching over our content in the coming weeks, hopefully. And yeah, Taxel says we won. We fucking did, everybody.
We did. So for tonight, we'll be on the Twitch.
Yes.
After the Twitch, you can head to latenightgrin.com and sign up for $1 and watch Buddy Matthews's first full indie match on YouTube with Confirmed Shoot and I.
Wow.
In a show that we are calling the Bud Matt Power Hour, I believe is what, Shoot just coined it in his text to me. So we've got another, 15 hours ahead tonight if you want to join us for that. Yeah, good times, brothers. We're doing good. It's good stuff.
We'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming here shortly. O'Neill, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, you just follow me on Twitter, at RobertO'Neill31.
I'll do that. I can't believe Jack Crosby wasted his plug off of his viral tweet to say follow Robert O'Neill.
I can't believe he left 5 minutes before I got here.
Yeah, he didn't actually want to talk to you.
He just texts me, fuck Robert O'Neill. So yeah.
That's what he put in our group chat that Robert O'Neill's not a part of, Joseph.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. The channel is the Fightful MMA channel. It's getting rebranded because no one uses the Fightful MMA channel. And Joseph and I, if nothing else, we're content whores, and we will do a lot of content. Yes,
we produce hours and hours of shit for a very low fee.
Guys, thank you, Joseph. Anything you want to plug?
At Joe Holbert on Twitter, latenightgrin.com, latenightgrinshop.com to buy your new Sorry to Hear That shirt, as well as possibly a Fed Dead shirt that Bob made us make. You could be the first person to buy a Fed Dead shirt. We believe it will not be misconstrued as a political message if you wear it in public, but it might be, so keep that in mind. But yeah, things are looking up. Just stick with us, folks. It's going to be an exciting few months ahead. A few years ahead, Jeremy. Let's get ahead of ourselves. You know, we're headed many years. We feel like we've won already, but by 2040, we'll have
run up the score. Sometimes you just gotta run up the score, Joseph.
That's what we do best, bro. I'm all in.
Yeah. Confirm shoot, anything to plug?
As soon as I heard you were wrapping up the show, I was like, okay, I'm getting on, because that's just funny. Hi, guys.
Hi. Bud Matt Power Hour tonight. You ready, pal?
Bud Matt Power Hour. We've been talking about it for a while. I have no equipment right now, so hopefully you guys can hear me.
You sound good, yeah.
Fun. We're going to try to do a show under an hour for the first time ever. Mm, we'll fail miserably, but
yeah,
we're going to try.
I'm shooting for 2.5 hours tonight. Lots to finish. For those of you who don't know, last night on Patreon, we went live after Dynamite because people were like, they wanted us to. They wanted to share the Hangman grin, right? So we go live impromptu. And Mrs. Shoot even joined us. Bob was a coward, didn't do it. Wow. We get off the air and we're like, okay, let's just have a quick talk here off the air. And Shoot, and this is not even hyperbole, which is the for 2.5 hours, then just talked about professional wrestling off the air. Yeah. Just an all-timer. But you know,
this is how all of our post-shows started, because we would do the show and then we would talk for 2.5 hours after our show. And like, hey, we should just like put this content elsewhere.
Shoot fits right in. And he's a paywall exclusive, folks.
There you go.
LateNightGrin.com. Check us out.
Even though I'm on this show right now, so that's not true. But
you're no longer on the show. Guys, we'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Appreciate y'all. Everyone check out Grapsody. Saturday, noon Eastern. Will, Reg, Phil, check them out. They did a great debut episode, and they will continue to kill it because they have Will's kid coming in there for a run-in. So check them out. We'll talk to y'all later on.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.